We come to God's Word in the book of Luke, chapter 5. And I'll read the scripture first and then pray for God's blessing through the Spirit as we study the Word. The words will be on screen. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. And I invite you to open your Bibles wherever you are or read along on screen. One day, Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. And then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night, and we haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." And when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. So were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. And then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled up their boats on shore, left everything, and followed him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. O Holy Spirit, come among us, we pray, as we read and come to your word, that we may be opened with ears and heart by your Spirit to know you, to love Jesus Christ, and to follow him all our days. This we pray in Jesus' name and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There is this craze sweeping the internets in the last couple weeks. Probably you've not heard of it. It's about sea shanties. Sea shanties, these old sailor songs from hundreds of years ago. And for you old people out there, and that includes me, there's this app on the internet called TikTok that you can have on your phone. I've never used it. I don't have it on my phone. But I'm told that the app has a function where you can record yourself singing along or singing over another person's song. So this sea shanty thing all started with a kid in Scotland who recorded himself singing an old sea shanty, a bunch of them actually. And he sings them with his loud, clear, confident voice and a perfect Scottish accent. And he drums on the back of his guitar as he sings them. And then one by one, other people add themselves to the song, singing various different parts, a high tenor, a deep, low contrabass, a doubling of the melody, a few harmonies winding around here and there. And it sounds beautiful if you hear it. You hear one of these sea shanties and you won't be able to get it out of your head for weeks. Trust me, it's been keeping me awake at night sometimes. Now, on a friend's suggestion, as we reflected on this passage, I wrote some lyrics to a sea shanty tune based on today's scripture. It's to a tune called The Wellerman. And I'll sing it for you now. There once was a man who called out to me, and the name of the man was Jesus. He came down to the shore with the crowd in tow. Go, my boys, let's go. Soon when the Jesus man come to heal and teach of God's kingdom, soon when the Jesus man come, we'll leave our nets and go. The crowd pressed in and left to him no choice but to preach out to them. He asked to me, "Put the boat back in, row, my boys, let's row." Soon when the Jesus man come to heal and teach of God's kingdom, soon when the Jesus come, we'll leave our nets and go. Have to imagine all the other bits. You just have to imagine all the other bits in there. My friend and I didn't have time to do all the different levels of recording, but you know, maybe someday we'll do it. Now, we don't know if Simon Peter and his friends sang songs like sea shanties as they worked on their fishing boats or sat on the shore cleaning their nets that day. But chances are good that they did. And it might have been a sad song that day when they were cleaning their nets on the shore, empty with no fish, just seaweed in them, that night after working so hard and catching not a thing. And then Jesus comes down to the lakeshore, and he's followed by this large crowd of people. And he's probably, as far as we know, still in Capernaum or pretty close to it, this large town that's on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee, by the way, is not a very big lake. It's about the size of the Little Traverse Bay, maybe 8 miles by 15 miles. And the slope of the ground slopes down gently near Capernaum. And then in the water, there's a short shelf, and suddenly it gets deep. And this big crowd comes and follows Jesus to hear God's word, the word of God. They are eager to hear Jesus preach. And that phrase, the word of God, identifies Jesus as a prophet. We've seen it before when we've heard the words of the prophets in the Old Testament. They know that Jesus is a prophet, and they want Jesus to heal them. They've seen Jesus do things. They've seen him put God's word into action, and they want to listen to Jesus' teaching. Now, the setting here is important, too, because up until now, we've seen Jesus either in synagogues or in people's homes. He preaches and teaches and casts out a demon in a synagogue, and he heals in homes, too, like just a few days before when he healed Simon Peter's mother. Now, last week in the scripture, we saw Jesus teach in his hometown of Nazareth in the synagogue, and people were amazed and offended by him. And he taught God's good news, that is good news for all peoples, not just for them. And it nearly got him thrown off a cliff. Now, down in Capernaum, he began to teach in the synagogue, and that time, they were amazed at his words of authority. Now, by the time Jesus makes it down to the lakeshore here, he's gathered this whole crowd of people who want to listen to his teaching. And he teaches them there, right where they're at, on that sandy, rocky lakeshore, near those stinky fishing boats, near the fishermen who are cleaning their nets. Not the best place for the sermon, but maybe it's the perfect place. It's where people are at. And Jesus just needs a place to sit down and preach. So he gets into this boat that belongs to Simon Peter. Now remember that at this point, Simon owes him. Jesus healed his mother, after all, and Simon has not said a single word since then. But he cannot refuse Jesus. No Middle Eastern man in his right mind would refuse Jesus at this point. Jesus needs help, and he asks Simon for it. And that shows us a first principle of forming disciples. You put yourself in the place of need. It'd be like Jesus. He asked Simon for help. And even though he asked Simon for help because he needed it. Because forming disciples isn't about power and control. It's about humility and service. And Simon obliges Jesus, even though he's busy, even though he's probably exhausted, even if it's the last thing he wants to do. Simon rows Jesus out into the water a little ways out, and Jesus sits down, as rabbis do, to teach the people. He's probably a little elevated on the boat, maybe on a seat or on the flat part near the front. And Simon has to hold the position of the boat against the waves and the currents and the winds. Not an easy job for a fisherman that's been working all night, but Simon manages it. And we don't know what Jesus preaches here. Luke doesn't tell us. But it's probably a lot like what Jesus was preaching in Nazareth in the synagogue. Good news for the poor and for the oppressed, and freedom for the enslaved, and sight for the blind. And when the sermon is done, Jesus has another request of Simon. He says, put out into the deep water and let out the nets for a catch. Now this is too much. Peter answers, Master, we've worked hard all night and we haven't caught anything. Now this guy from the landlocked town of Nazareth thinks he can order around these experienced fishermen. He doesn't know a thing about fishing on the Sea of Galilee, and neither do we. First of all, they fish at night there. because that's when the fish were biting. And second, they fish pretty close to shore, near where the oxygen-rich springs come out and feed the lake. And third, these guys have just finished cleaning their nets after a long, hard night. They're not going to get them dirty all over again. And fourth, their nets were made of linen, and the fish could see them in the daylight. They wouldn't catch a thing if they put them out in the light. Jesus has no idea what he's talking about. Now, I wonder what Simon was feeling in the moment there. And Luke gives us absolutely no clue. Was he patiently putting up with Jesus? Was Simon exasperated at his impertinence? All we get are his words. Because you say so, I will let down the nets. But clearly he has this relationship with Jesus. Jesus healed his mother, and he knows that Jesus speaks and acts with authority. He saw people healed and freed on his very doorstep, and he just sat through one of Jesus' sermons while he rowed the boat. What is Jesus up to? We sometimes ask that same question. What is Jesus up to with his disciples today? What is the deal with the followers of Jesus, the church? The church needs disciples who follow Jesus. And the problem that Peter had was that he needed fish. And Jesus, on the other hand, needed disciples. And Peter and his partners had plenty of opportunities to say no to Jesus. They could have left when the crowd showed up. They could have said no when Jesus asked for a boat. They could have laughed at Jesus when he told them to go fishing. But they didn't do any of those things. And we have plenty of chances to follow Jesus. But the problem with discipleship today and any day is that people often take the easier way. Instead of being immersed in God's word, we're drowning in media. Instead of digging into biblical theology, we're falling down into a pit of conspiracies. Instead of following Jesus, we follow a person. And it's no wonder that the problems of the